All right, we'll get started on our class on parenting. Thanks for joining. You are more than welcome to scoot as close as you'd like. Seth is a wonderful man to sit next to. We like him. Oh, wow. Seth is coming even closer. I was using Seth as an example of someone who's sitting close. So, awesome. I'm glad you're here. Once we get a second, we'll turn over the slides and get ready for the gospel growth slides. Informal poll, just as we're getting those final pieces together. Byron, I'll get those slides when you get a second. How many of you have been helped by this class so far? I have been. Like, I'm putting my hand up. As a parent, it's super, super helpful. Well, today what we're going to do to start out is I'm going to try to give you a scenario I'd like you to think about with me. Just ignore those slides that are rotating back there. They're not as interesting as this scenario. Imagine you have a kid who's going to their first day of school. And the kid maybe is going to a brand new school district. And they're wondering, how in the world am I going to make friends? Have any of you had any conversations like that with your kids? I have. Yeah. Okay, maybe you haven't had that with your kids. Maybe go back in your own brain and remember when you were going to school. And you're like, oh man, how am I going to make new friends? You ever do that? They're just worried. Now, I'm going to have us, just to get going, talk through some ways. How would you help your kid think through how to make new friends at school? What would you tell them to do? Today's going to be interactive. I'm just going to warn you. It's interactive. So I have multiple spots where we're just going to stop, and I'm going to ask you questions, and you're going to give me info. So better be ready. Drink some more coffee there, Chan. Get ready to answer some questions. So to start us out, what would you say to help your kid learn how to make friends at a new school? What would you do? And while you're doing that, Byron, can we get those slides? Oh, AV is gone. It's just like empty back there. We might not have slides. Oh, Isaac's got it. Someone's got it. Who knows? Let's give him a second. While they're doing that, think. How would you help your kid come up? Yep, Rusty, what do you got? Okay. Rusty just shut down my illustration. He's like, wrong purpose. He's like, okay, well, class is done, guys. Rusty spoke. So I guess we're not, no. That is true on school, right? We're not always there to make friends. Yep. Okay, well, let's still press forward, though. Let's pretend. No, I love it. Rusty, great job just getting us going. That was beautiful. How would you help someone? Let's change it. Maybe it's not there. Maybe it's a sports team or whatever. How would you help your kid make friends?
From the opposite side.
Yep.
Xander, when you come home today, you better tell me the name of someone you met and
great.
Something you know about them.
Great.
Otherwise, you're not going to school tomorrow.
Okay. Learn the name of someone and something about them. Great. Good. What else? What is a way to make friends? All we're talking about is how do you help your kid learn to make friends? Yes. Mutual interest, finding something in common. Beautiful. Love it. What else?
Introduce them.
Ooh, you're going to actually help them. Good. What else?
Try something new.
Step out of your comfort zone. Good. What else? Pray with them?
Yeah.
Awesome. Pray with them. That's a great thing. Yes. Engage spiritually. What else? Ways to connect.
Actually teach them some phrases to say.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Learn some skills and abilities to help them bridge that awkward gap. Yeah. So we all know a bit of how to help our kids learn to make a friend. Here, I'll show you my cool little stock photo. I got a handful here.
Send them with a bag of
truffles. Bribe some people to be their friends. I like this. See? All right. I think we got some ideas from don't make friends at all. Just be grumpy. No, learn. To how to build friendships. We've been through that. We know what it's like to build friendships or try. Now, here's where I bring that up. We have some idea how to help our kid cultivate a relationship with other kids. But today, we're not going to talk about cultivating relationships between a kid and another kid. I want to help us just think practically, how do we cultivate a relationship with our own kids? Like, how are we going to... We can help our kids build a relationship with others, but how do we build a relationship with our kids? How do we cultivate that one? So some of our lessons, even as we were talking about these as a teaching team, some of our lessons are really theological. And you're like, oh, I really understand all these different verses, these aspects. And some of them balance that and a lot of practicality. And this one is going to have a lot of just practical things. It all is biblically based and super helpful. But this is just practical ways in which to build relationship. So with that said, you have been called to lead, to guide, to train, and to bring up your children. You are called to parent them. But wouldn't that be a whole lot easier if you had a good relationship with them? Yes. So let's build a relationship with our kids by the grace of God. And then apply the other things that we have learned and will learn and are learning, because we're all just perpetual learners in this, right? And by God's grace, train them up in the way they should go. Now, I do realize that as we're going to talk about building a relationship, there's a real potential that if we are going to think this through, some of us could sit here and be like, wow, I'm really discouraged as I hear everyone else's ideas about how they have been building relationship. And we just kind of like hide under our hoodie and kind of check out because we feel like failures. That's not the point. It can be very discouraging sometimes, all the ways in which we are not or have not built a relationship with our kids. But today is supposed to be a helpful space. We're going to share some ideas, and we're going to try to get extremely practical. Can I encourage us, though? Don't compare yourself. As someone gives another answer, or gives an idea, or shares a thought, don't compare yourself. Don't discourage yourself. Just think through some way in which you can take one more step. Don't listen and be like, my answer's better. That would be bad. Or, I'm the worst. That would be bad as well. This is a space for us to just take a different step at the stage we're in. Also realize every single family is different, aren't they? Just look around. We all have different ages and stages. We have different makeup of family. I can think of my own family as even an example. So I grew up in a family, I was the third child out of four, and I was surrounded by sisters. And then if you know me, I have three boys. Those are two entirely different households to live in. So what would work in building a relationship in my family of origin, me and my sisters, absolutely would not work at all with my boys. And if my sisters ever wrestled as much as my boys did, we'd be like, what is going on? That just wouldn't happen, okay? So homes are different. Last illustration that I think would help us as we get started. Do you ever need help finding just the right gift to give to a spouse, a friend, or a significant other? You're just like, I don't know. I'm not sure. So what do you do? Well, maybe you go to Google. Maybe you ask a friend. Maybe you chat GPT it. You just get some advice. You're like, what is a good gift for so-and-so who likes this and that? And you try to get some help. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to try to get some help as we talk through this. And as we go through, I have had a whole list, and it was going to be six different ways, and then I combined them, so now we only have three. So we don't lose you. Here's what we're going to talk about. First of all, for us to build relationship, we need to have shared time and shared memories. To build a relationship, we need to have shared time and shared memories. As I'm talking, here's the question at the end. So we're leading towards this. So I don't want you to miss it. The final question before we switch over to another major topic. This is the question I'm going to ask. What are good examples or good ideas for growing in shared time and shared memories? So already be thinking. When I get to that, just be ready to share. Here are a couple of thoughts, though, to help us get going. If we're going to build a relationship and cultivate that with our kids, we need to have shared time and memories. First thing, be present. Be present. If you're going to build a relationship, you got to be present and make it quality time. As a parent, as a dad, it can be a little convicting. This is a quote that someone wrote as I was studying. When you are there, are you available physically and emotionally? Are you available physically and emotionally? That's a good question to ask. Or are you wrapped up in television, late night projects, or restoring an old Corvette? I don't have an old Corvette. That was just the quote. But we know the things that we get wrapped up in. And sometimes we are not having shared time and memories. We're just in the same house. Have shared time, shared memories. Be available. Be distraction-free. This is another recommendation. Set aside just 10 minutes a day to talk to your child without distractions. It can make a big difference in establishing good communication habits. Turn off the TV. Put away your devices. Spend some quality time together. Your child needs to know that you believe they are a priority in your life, despite the many distractions and stressors that come your way. That was another quote. I was like, that's super helpful. I like that. That's a good thing to think about. As we think about shared memories, maybe some of you, as you're going to share some ideas in a second, you're going to share some really good memories or some really good ways to make memories. Some people do movie nights, bedtime stories. They have certain vacations. Pastor Lucas talked recently, I think, about some of the vacations they went on families. And what are your ways to make memories? Maybe it's a family game time. Recently, our kids have gotten into doing puzzles. So we just do puzzles, and we'll sit there, and we'll get a 500-piece puzzle, and we'll take 30, 45 minutes, however long it takes, and we'll just talk, and we'll hang out. What are those shared memories that you're going to make? Maybe your shared memories are around the start of school. Maybe you have holiday memories. Maybe you have road trips and summer breaks. Maybe you have birthday days or birthday weeks or birthday months. I don't know what you do, but how are you creating shared memories to build relationship? Two final thoughts. This was a recommendation. Get into their space. Figure out what your kids like to do. Find out what they like. Get in their space. Have fun. If it means being silly, be silly. If it means playing with dolls and you're like, I'm not into dolls, do it. Build that relationship. Get into building a relationship with your kids. It's very possible that we can both take our kids for granted and even take our own spouses for granted. And when we share time, when we share memories, we actually are expressing them, you are valuable. I want to build a relationship with you. I love you. I want to get to know you. Have some fun. Maybe it's something that they really enjoy. Maybe it's something you really don't enjoy, but that's okay. Love them enough to do those things. And then if you can do something that you really enjoy together, that's a bonus. Okay, with all that said, what are some good examples that you guys have that are things you have seen, things you have done for sharing time and sharing memories? What do you have?
Creating things together.
Awesome. He was just sharing that when he comes home, phone's in a drawer as much as possible. Life has life, and we understand it, but as much as possible, not let the device get in the way. Awesome. Okay, for sake of time, it's 10:47. We'll just keep moving because we have two more major segments, but that's great interaction. Thanks so much for helping. Let's talk about how to build a relationship in another area. Shared conversations and shared affections. So if we're going to build relationships, we have to have shared time and shared memories. We also have to have shared conversations and shared affections. Here was the question I want you to think. What do you wish your mom or your dad had talked with you about? What did you enter high school, college, adult life, and you're like, I really wish they would talk to me about that? What do you remember looking back and you felt like you stumbled and bumped into along your journey of life, and you're like, man, I wish I could have had someone who would help me with that. Those are the things you want to talk to your kid about. And so much more, right? If I threw a couple ideas out here, I would say practice open communication. And you probably heard this one too. Practice active listening. Active listening. Where you're not just letting the sound come through, but you're trying to understand what they're saying and what they're feeling and what's going on, and you're letting them know you understand them and you're hearing them, and you're not just treating them as a 2-foot-tall person, but you're treating them as a person. You're listening and you're understanding. Obviously, you're going to need to adapt your communication level, your communication style, your communication content to actually match where your child is at, but still communicate, still talk. Engage and help them. I'd say talk about everything. Talk about everything. Talk about all aspects of life. Talk about the normal and the mundane. Talk about the significant and the insignificant. Talk to them about the awkward and talk to them about the difficult. Because they need help and you need to help them. I think if we come back theologically, we see that God has put you in their life on purpose for your sanctification and to help lead these children. And so embrace it. So talk to them about sexuality. and substances and race and discrimination. Talk to them about death. Talk to them about those things that they may not get to talk to anybody else about, or they might get a misunderstanding or a skewed view. You could say something like this. This may be really awkward to talk about, but it's important, and I love you, so I want us to talk about it. And just try. And when you stumble, it's okay. We all have, and we all still will, right? Just keep having those conversations. Talk to them about the skills and abilities. As I was thinking through stuff, I was thinking through, well, it'd be good to talk to your kids about money and finance, budget and debt, cooking, personal care, household chores, basic household maintenance. It's kind of like doing something and talking about something. How do you change a tire? How do you check the oil in your car? Those type of things. Talk about it. And this actually creates conversation and space. Do things together. One thing I love, I kind of collect this. I collect questions. At one point, I was just convinced, and it's helped me, that a really good question opens people up for good conversation. And it actually is insightful for me. So I actually have notes on my phone, and I collect questions. And I think there are some really good questions. Sometimes you can just ask a question. You ever have that, where someone asks you the right question, and you just start crying, and you're like, whoa, that was unexpected. Someone asks you the right question, and you just start talking. Well, you can have that with your kid, too. Find those questions. Find those phrases. Find those ways to just open up your kid to talking, and then hear where their heart is at. Hear where things are. Talk about the day. Talk about the highs and lows. In youth group or other times, we say, what's your high, what's your low, and what's your buffalo? Have you heard that one? It's a goofy one. What's your high, what's your low, what's your buffalo? What's the greatest thing that happened today or this week? What's the saddest thing? And what's the weirdest thing? That's the buffalo. The highs, the lows, the buffaloes. Sometimes people talk about the rose, the bud, and the thorn. That's another good one. And you imagine just a rose, and you're talking about the beautiful things that you're enjoying. The bud is the things that you're just anticipating and looking forward to. And the thorns are the things that poke and hurt. And maybe those are different ways to just say, hey, can you tell me about these? And as you come up with more, or we're going to ask some questions in a second, please share. Let's help each other. Can I encourage us, though? Let's communicate affection. Let's communicate appreciation. You know, in a marriage relationship, it's not enough to say, yeah, I told you I loved you years ago when we got married. That's not going to work. You remember Valentine's Day? We just had that. I told you I loved you then. Come on. It's only been a couple of weeks. You need to hear it again? Yes. You need to say it. They need to hear it. They need to hear it and say it. You need to, yes, yes, yes. I found this quote, too. This is attributed to an 8-year-old kid. And so when you expect an 8-year-old kid, quote, it's going to either be silly or profound. Here it is, about affection. This little 8-year-old girl said this: you really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. It's kind of cute, and it's really true. If you love someone, tell them. You know those internal voices in your own head? Your kid has them too. So encourage them. Help them. You be their biggest cheerleader. Celebrate with them. Celebrate what they accomplish, and celebrate when they just work really hard and they don't achieve what they hope they could achieve, but they tried really hard. Because often people won't do that. Don't you wish you had that? Will you be that for your kids? Help them set goals. Help them try to achieve it. And wherever they're at in that journey, just encourage them along the way. Be their biggest and most honest cheerleader. Love them, connect with them, trust them, respect them. Okay, with that in mind, what are some examples, or what are some ideas for growing in shared conversation and shared affection? So just be open with what's going on. There's not set times that you talk about the serious and not the serious. Love it. Beautiful. Here's as you're thinking, I asked some people and ahead of time, and one of the things that someone mentioned was the whole idea of recognize vulnerable times and valuable times. That's the way I rephrased it. But recognize vulnerable times. Like those spaces that at end of night, I've had certain kids where end of night, they're supposed to go to bed, but man, their brain is rolling and they're talking. And it's just, and yes, they should get some sleep, but they're open and vulnerable. And I should be like, well, no, you get to bed. We are not talking. And every night can't be talk night. But there are times where it's just really good. And they can't stay up till midnight every night just talking away. But recognize those spaces and recognize when a heart is open and there's a chance, and there's just some good relationship. And recognize when they just need to connect and recognize the species. That was helpful to remember. The value of unrushed space together. And any other recommendations on shared conversation and shared affection? Utilize the car for tough conversations. I love it. These are great suggestions. Are you helped by this? Yeah, I was looking forward to this class just because I'm like, I'm going to take so much away. This is great. I love it. Okay, we have time to just move into our last section. And so we have, we want to talk about shared time and shared memories, shared conversations and shared affection. Lastly, share struggles and shared goals. John, you were talking a bit about the shared goals, and that's where we're going with this one too. If we're going to build a relationship with a peer, sometimes struggles are the greatest ways to really build. You go on a hike and something goes wrong, you got a memory. Something's happened. You're closer. And so don't begrudge the struggles in your life or your kid's life. See it as a space to build a relationship, guide them forward, and glorify God. So then we don't have to be afraid of navigating emotions and tantrums and conflict. By God's grace, we can teach them and ourselves how to overcome difficulty. By God's grace, maybe we can model a little better for them how to overcome difficulty in the Spirit. I look back at my life, this could be an area of real discouragement, right? It's like, oh man, I failed. But God gives grace. God helps. And then even in that, that's a great space for honesty, confession, vulnerability, and God to both help you and help them. As life brings pain and sorrow, listen to your kids' hearts and care for them. Respect them as a developing person. These are little people who will soon become much bigger people. You can belittle them or you can respect them. You can push them aside because they're small and it's not that big of a problem. Or you can listen to them and care for the heart. And maybe the heart that you care for at 2 and the heart that God gives grace to care for at 8, when they're 15 and 20 and 40, you'll still have a space to care for that heart as well. Build trust. I was thinking about this when the recommendation was build trust. So that means dad, me, I got to keep my promises and I need to be dependable because I can actually destroy trust pretty fast. Let them trust me. Let me trust them too. Be honest with my own struggles. Practice confession. John, you were talking about this a bit. Learn their goals and dreams. Then spend time, energy, effort, and money to help them achieve the right goals and dreams. Fuel their success. And that's beautiful. Okay, with that said, what are good examples or ideas for growing in shared struggles and goals? Any other thoughts? I've loved the interaction. You guys have really helped. Thank you. Dealing with struggles as a kid, being honest that you're dealing with struggles as a dad as well. There have been plenty of times where I've been helping and correcting my kid and confessing all in the same conversation. Dead honest. I'm sitting there and I'm like, you can't do that, but I can't do this. So let's both go to God right now and you're going to confess to God and I'm going to confess to God and let's ask God for help. Sometimes the struggles are interpersonal. Sometimes the struggles are out there and we're both feeling the struggle or the pressure. I think of a time where we, as a family growing up, we had a struggle of not being able to sell a house. And it was just creating financial pressure and difficulty and struggle. And so what did we do? My parents just never told us? No, actually they engaged us with it. And we'd pray and we'd talk and we'd work on the house and we'd do different things. And then finally when it sold, I think we went and got like a dollar ice cream because when you can't sell a house, you don't have a whole lot of extra. So, right? But it was a shared struggle. What else? Any other ideas? Shared struggle, shared goals? Yeah, Chan. So we're hearing from a couple different spots and a lot of different chuckles because we're all feeling this one, right? That the struggles that your kid is going through, for some reason, might be very similar to your struggles. Maybe that's because they are kids, right? But you know what the beauty is? I'm encouraged by this. The Bible talks about how the comfort that we've received, God wants to use to comfort others. The grace that we've received, God wants to use. Maybe the same sin struggles, maybe you're just an angry person and you see it in your kid. But the ways that God wants to sanctify you, and he's done, that's a personal example, okay? The anger that God has helped give me victory over, I can now try to help my kids by God's grace get victory over that and be like, hey, I've walked that path in that sin and that sin and that sin and that sin, but God is faithful. So, awesome. Well, we're out of time. Let me share a few final things. I want to share a few final verses. Can I just encourage you on this? It could be very possible that we are discouraged and frustrated. Oh, I hit the wrong thing. Sorry, guys. If we can get those, that was me, I think. Okay, these final few verses on this one, just to encourage us, and then I'll pray. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4. It's a beautiful verse, God telling us that. And 2 Corinthians 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I think of Isaiah 40. God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So be encouraged in God's faithfulness to us, even as we try to build a relationship with our kids. Love you guys for you. Let me pray, and let's ask God to keep helping us. Thank you, God, for your word, your spirit, and your people. Thank you for these brothers and sisters who even have encouraged my heart and helped me. And God, we just look to you. Please help us as parents, current parents, future parents, as we want to see, by your grace, something beautiful for your glory. Help us now. In Jesus' name, amen.